Hi, this is Ian Pickus, and we're in the Congressional Corner today with a candidate for Congress. His name is Blake Gendebien, and he's a Democrat in New York's 21st District. Originally, he thought he'd be running in a special election this spring, but those plans have changed. His decision was to stay in the race ahead of 2026. Boy, that's a mouthful. Blake Gendebien, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Ian. It's great to be here.
So just to begin with, because I know there were so many twists and turns, originally we thought that there would be a special election when Elise Stefanik went to the UN. She is staying in Congress. So first of all, why did you decide to keep your candidacy going at this time?
So ever since we started way back last November, we have been focused on making sure that we can bring costs down at the dinner table for all North Country families. We have been making sure that we work very hard on immigration and building a farm worker modernization program, but not just for farmers, for hospitality and healthcare and forestry and construction as well. Also, we've been focused very hard on rural healthcare. Nearly 50% of our district are seniors. And my Uncle Rodney had a stroke last June, and we had to drive him 2.5 hours for routine doctor's appointments to Syracuse. That's really unacceptable. So I want to work very hard on rural health care. And those are not divisive issues. Those are things that since the beginning of our campaign still resonate. And I'm here to continue to work hard for the people of the North Country and remain laser focused on our needs.
You know, a race for office like Congress requires a lot of fundraising to keep the whole effort going. So will you be able to continue running through 2026 effectively, you know, full time?
Yes, absolutely. I will tell you, we've had tremendous support for our campaign. You may have seen we raised $3 million in the first quarter. I'm very proud of that. That took a lot of hard work. Took a lot of energy from the entire team and our campaign. So we're just going to keep chugging along. We're going to keep working very, very hard. And on top of that, I can't wait to plant my corn and soybeans this spring, which I would not have done if the special election was on. It would have been just a little too busy, but very happy that I get to hit the fields and stay connected to my farm.
I'm glad you raised your farm. So I want to give you a chance to introduce yourself to people who may not have paid such close attention during the point in time earlier this year when you were making the rounds as a candidate in the special election. You're a farmer from Lisbon, but tell us about your background and what you want people to know about you.
Great. So I'm a husband. Carmen and I have been married for 22 years. We're parents. I'm a dad. We have three boys, Miles, Truman, and Noah. Miles is 21, Truman is 19, and Noah is 18. Noah's a senior in high school, so we're going to be empty nesters soon, which is an odd feeling. I graduated from Lisbon Central School. My kids graduated from Lisbon Central School. I participated in all of their youth activities, which is very important in the North Country. You have to participate to keep programs going. On top of that, Carmen and I are dairy farmers with my parents. We moved back to Lisbon in 2002 and got married at the White Church that is surrounded by our farm's property. And we grew the farm with my parents from 50 cows. Now we milk 500 cows and farm 1,200 acres. I've also been the president of the Lisbon Central School Board, coached JV basketball at Lisbon Central School, and was the varsity basketball assistant coach. That was a great experience and got to spend a lot of extra time with my kids. And then finally, Carmen and I started a foundation called the Jewels of Life Foundation, which supports children suffering from pediatric cancer from Syracuse to Plattsburgh. That's very meaningful work for us. One thing I did forget to mention, up until the campaign, I was the vice chairman of AgriMark, which is a $1 billion cooperative owned by 450 farmers, including our farm. through New York and New England, and we manufacture Cabot cheese, and we have well over 1,000 employees there. That was meaningful work as well, representing farmers and being elected by farmers in New York and farm representatives in New England. So all of those things have really shown me what's amazing about the North Country. And I love to brag about the North Country. We have the St. Lawrence River Inn. We have Lake Champlain. We have Lake George. We have the Hudson Valley and the Mohawk Valley, which is nearly the birthplace of our nation. We have Fort Drum, which has home to one of the best divisions, if not the best division in the nation, the 10th Mountain Division. And let's not forget, we have the Adirondack Park with an Olympic Park inside of it. All of these, we have nothing to apologize for. We have so much to be excited about. But there are some things we have to work on, and I mentioned them earlier. We need to drive down costs at the dinner table. We need to find affordable housing for people in this district. We need to make sure that we fix immigration, which we'll probably talk about more later. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that we support small businesses and take care of our seniors and hardworking families in the North Country. It's at their healthcare specifically. Those are major, major issues, and that's what we're focused on.
Before you moved back in 2002, where were you? Where were you? Where were you based, and what were you doing?
Okay, great question. So after high school, I went to Penn State University, and I studied agriculture and had a business minor. I love farming. Okay, Ian, it's where I want to be. I love the farm. It's the industry that I'm extremely passionate about. And America's farmers are the best in the world. And I've always felt like we've been underrepresented and taken advantage of. After college, I worked for a company called AGCO, which is an American manufacturing company of farm equipment. And specifically, before I came home, I was working for tractors, Fendt tractors, and then Ag Chem, which is Rogator and Terrigator. I could talk to you all day about farming, which would probably bore everyone to death. And Carmen and I had just started dating, and my dad called me up and said, "Hey, Blake, the farm for sale, it next door is for sale. Would you like to buy it?" And this was in 2002. And I looked at Carmen and said, "Do you want to go farm?" And she was born in Cuba. Her dad was the superintendent of an apartment building in New York City in Washington Heights. And that's where she grew up, in a basement apartment. And we were living in Atlanta at the time. And she said, "Well, the St. Lawrence River on the Canadian border is closer to Washington Heights than Atlanta. So let's do it." So she deserves a tremendous amount of credit for embracing the farm as well. It's just been a wonderful choice. Raising our kids on the farm has been second to none.
Let me ask you a question to understand how you think a little bit.
Sure.
You're up three, the shot clock is dead, and the other team has the ball. Do you foul?
Yeah, good question. I'm up three.
You're
the
up three.
The shot clock is dead. I'm very good at winning when I'm down by two, which is the story of my life.
You know, you might need that in this district, Blake.
Yeah. We can talk about that later. My kids I've always gone for the three-pointer when we're down by two, and I've been very successful with that. But anyway, we're down by three. Do I foul with no time left?
Yeah, the other team's going to take the last shot is really what it comes down to here.
It depends on if the young person dribbling the ball is a good foul shooter or not. In JV, typically they get a little stressed out. Yeah, so I might foul and put the pressure on them. But I would tell the kids, do not foul when they're shooting, because mm-hmm. then he'd get three chances at the foul line. So there's some nuance there, certainly, but. Yeah, we always go for it. And I've been telling our team, let's pull the goalie early. Let's really, we're in this to win it. We're not in this, we're in this to win. We're not in it not to lose. So we're all in and we're working really, really hard.
So I have a question for you today, Blake. You know, you were able to convince the county Democratic chairs to back your candidacy. What was the case that you made? What was your pitch?
Okay, my case that I made was, in a traditional primary, we tend to have nominees that are really far to the right and really far to the left. And we had an opportunity here with 15 county chairs who worked, to their credit, they worked very, very hard. They were very organized. They made the process seamless. And they are a pragmatic reflection of the district. So I was just myself. I told them, I am born and raised in Lisbon. I am a dairy farmer in Lisbon. I know how to work on both sides of the aisle. It is the environment that I grew up in. I will work with anyone to get things done. Let's focus on the issues where we can gain some ground and where we can get things done. And that resonated with them. And thankfully, they chose our campaign.
Now, I don't want to sound jaded, but, you know, I've been working on this show for a long time, and we have interviewed a long list of Democrats who thought that they could beat Elise Stefanik and, frankly, win a seat that really has been Republican for most of the post-Civil War history. So how are you actually going to go about winning this race when so many others have not been able to do so?
I'm glad you asked. So I think the last Democrat was Congressman Owens, born from the district.
Yes. And I should just say, you know, he won some very, very close elections. He won a special election to win the seat, and he was Stefanik's predecessor.
Yes. Yeah. A very wonderful gentleman and supportive of my campaign. So born and raised in Lisbon, I'll keep repeating that. I'm actually from the district. I mow my own lawn. I farm my own fields. I have coached through the district. I have friends all through the district. My son went to prom with the daughter of an ICE agent. The high school soccer coach at Lisbon for many years was a Border Patrol agent. We talk about things. We talk about the issues. We don't ask each other what party we're on. And it's really easy. It is easy to win when you're playing basketball 6-on-4. That's not an accomplishment. I want to remind everybody, that's not really an accomplishment. An accomplishment is when you represent the North Country with a message that is not divisive. We talked before about driving down costs, making life more affordable. I know what it's like to farm on the border in a broken immigration system. I can talk about it. We should have a farmer in the room to set those policies. Making sure rural healthcare is accessible and affordable is not a divisive issue. And these are things that everybody is concerned with. And we have also got to talk about more current events. Tariffs. Most people in Congress right now do not have their lives directly affected by tariffs like I do. This morning, I received a phone call from the John Deere dealership in Canton that said, Blake, your bearings aren't in yet. The bearings you ordered have not arrived yet. They are hung up in customs. Because the John Deere warehouse that services our farmers in St. Lawrence County and Northern New York, that warehouse is in Ontario. This trade war is a problem, and it's a problem for Republicans, and it's a problem for Democrats. And the way I look at that is it's a problem for us. That's why this is different. This is not a divisive campaign. This campaign is meant to bring people together and come to a common goal and make sure everybody in the North Country can not just get by, but thrive. That's what's different.
So let's start to get into some specifics here. You mentioned rural healthcare needs. I'm wondering what kind of healthcare policy you favor. Would you vote for Medicare for all? Do you want to keep the ACA in place? Something else? What's your vision?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. I have a personal story about the ACA. When Carmen and I were, we are not a wealthy family. We are not independently wealthy. We don't have parents with an extremely successful business. And we don't have Ivy League educations. We are a North Country family and hardworking. And when we were growing the farm, which was very difficult, our kids were little. Our insurance premium was more expensive than the farm mortgage. Those days were really, really tough. And so the Affordable Care Act changed our lives. It made life much easier. It allowed us to focus on the farm. It helped the farm grow. It helped our business grow. Our kids were healthier. Things were better. So I would support anything that makes people's lives better. The Affordable Care Act was a good thing for North Country families, and I do not think it should be politicized. I also think that we need to work really hard on having more community health centers, more community health centers for veterans. I'm going to kind of circle back to veteran healthcare, VA benefits, but I want to tell you that rural districts like the North Country, Northern New York, we make up just 16% of the nation's population, yet 50% of our military recruits come from rural districts like this one. That's a massive disproportionate amount of recruitment, but we should be proud of that. And we need to make sure that when our military servicemen and women retire, there is a healthy, vibrant economy back in the North Country for them to come back to. And we need to make sure that the healthcare is here for them. And under no circumstances should VA benefits be anything but the best benefit package in the world. I don't understand why it's not. And DOGE is making cuts to VA benefits, which seems totally unacceptable. I just can't wrap my head around that. And the word is that doctors in Syracuse are leaving the VA hospital because they see the writing on the wall. So these benefits are terrible. So we need to make sure that we have VA community health centers available. And we need to make sure that we also have more healthcare physical places for our seniors to go so that they don't have to drive 2.5 hours for routine doctor's appointments. Any policy in that direction would be supported by my campaign and any efforts that I do in the future.
Who did you vote for president in the last election and how come?
So I always vote for the person that will help the hardworking man and woman in the North Country. That is what I'm focused on right there.
Okay, well, in November, who was that person?
That is a private decision that is between myself and my family.
Well, why are you're running for office? People are trying to understand where you're coming from. Why can't you say if you voted for Harris, Trump, or someone else?
Yeah, so what I'll tell you, Ian, is my campaign and my focus is laser focused on the North Country, and I do not want any distractions from that. This is a campaign for people in Northern New York in District 21, and it is, here's what I want to explain. I live on the 5 mile line road. The telephone poles end at one at my farm and they don't pick up till the other end of the railroad tracks. When people go off the road, they'll walk to my house and they say, Blake, can you pull me out? Because there's a ditch on one side and a muddy field on the other side. And I say, absolutely, I'd be happy to. And so I drive my tractor down, I hook up, I pull them out, and we don't ask each other what their party affiliation is. We get the job done. And then at the basketball game on Friday night, we high five. And that is what's so critical about my messaging and what I want to do for the North Country. We need to make sure that our lives are better. We have been underrepresented by partisan politics and divisiveness for too long. And I will not allow that. I am embracing everybody in the North Country, whether no matter who you voted for, and I'm not going to get distracted.
I'm wondering about abortion rights. You know, Roe v. Wade was overturned by the Supreme Court a couple of years ago. That sent policies back to the states. I'm wondering, what is your view on a woman's right to choose, and should there be any restrictions on a woman's access to abortion?
So I am pro-choice, and a woman's right to choose is between her, her family, and her physician. And I support the nearly 50 years of precedence of Roe v. Wade.
Let's talk about climate change. Do you accept that climate change is worsened by human actions?
So there is no doubt that weather patterns are changing. There isn't a farmer in the United States that won't tell you that weather patterns are changing. We've got pastures drying out, and as a result, dairy farmers are breeding our cows to Angus semen, and we're sending Angus calves out to the panhandle of Oklahoma. Things are changing. 10 years ago, we didn't plant 1 acre of soybeans. We didn't plant 1 acre. Last year, we planted 300, and we're not the only ones. Everything is different, and I do not have a problem with planting cover crops to sequester carbon. The math adds up there. I think it's a good idea to have digesters to capture dairy methane and turn it, scrub it into natural gas and pump it into the natural gas lines. Anything that gets us down to net zero will only help the environment. And if farmers can be part of the solution, let's be part of the solution. I think that's great.
Immigration, this is obviously a thorny issue. As we speak, a lot of attention has been on the Trump administration's moves to deport people from the country without a hearing or showing that they've committed crimes. In some cases, it appears that they have deported people accidentally. So what's your view on our current immigration policies, and what would you do differently?
So I feel very strongly that our immigration system is broken. Farming on the border has shown me that we've got a lot of work to do, and that Washington does not understand American agriculture. According to a Texas A&M study in 2016, almost 50% of dairy labor is immigrant labor. And according to that same Texas A&M study in 2016, 79% of the dairy products that we all see at the grocery store have been handled by immigrant labor. We have to come up with a fair solution to make sure that agriculture and hospitality have a secure labor force, and it needs to get done ASAP, especially when we consider how it will drive down cost. Because according to that Texas A&M study, if you eliminate immigrant labor from that equation, dairy prices go up 93%. So imagine what happens to affordability in the economy if we don't fix this. As a farmer on the border, I want to be part of fixing that. And here is why. Like I mentioned before, I have friends that are ICE agents. I have friends that are Border Patrol agents. I have friends that are state police and local police. And right now, those federal agents and state and local agents cannot communicate on the border. That seems ridiculous. They should be able to communicate on the border and do their jobs. And when you're somebody from the district, not in Albany, not living in DC, living in Lisbon, New York, you talk to people and you find out common sense solutions. That's what we're working on.
Do you agree with President Trump that birthright citizenship, where someone who is born within this country is a U.S. citizen, should be ended?
I do not agree with that.
And how come?
I think that if you're born in this country, that it, so, for example, there is nothing more patriotic than following the four corners of the Constitution. I want to repeat that. There is nothing more patriotic than following the four corners of our Constitution, and that is what I'll stick with.
Would you vote for the Green New Deal if you were sent to Congress and Democrats were able to bring it up for a fresh vote?
Honestly, I don't know much about the Green New Deal. What I do know is that job opportunities in the North Country are needed, and development in the North Country is needed. And if there is an opportunity to develop cheaper electricity through whatever means, cheaper power through whatever means, that sounds like a good opportunity to reduce cost of power and to provide jobs for people in the North Country. Those two things add up to a plus for me.
New York State has a housing shortage, and that is especially true in some Adirondack communities. So what would you do to address it?
Yeah, I would certainly support any opportunities for building affordable housing. And there's many reasons why. Again, affordable housing drives down cost. So as a dairy farmer in Agrimark, we own Cabot Cheese. An issue in rural America is that there is not enough affordable housing for hardworking people. At our cut and wrap facility, where we cut and wrap the cheese, we just can't get people to work there, first of all, because they can't afford a home nearby. So then you have to have mandatory overtime, which results in a more expensive product. So we actually had to go to retailers, grocery stores, Walmart, and say, hey, listen, we have to raise prices. So affordable housing makes life more affordable for everyone else. But also we just need to focus, for example, in the Adirondacks, we have a tourism industry, and that tourism industry, we need to make sure that there are homes for hospitality workers to live in. And it's getting harder and harder because they're competing with remote workers and driving the cost up. I am all for anyone for any reason moving into the district. We just need to make sure that everybody can afford to live here.
You have a background, as you mentioned, in school board politics and policy. What is your feeling about what rules, if any, there should be in place in districts on the treatment of trans students or students who identify as being trans?
So here's an Ian. I love to tell stories, so I'm going to try to make it as quick as possible.
Yeah, take your time.
We're limiting to 1 minute. I don't like bullies. I have an aversion to bullies. I have an aversion to bullying. I've been that way since I was little. I don't like it when people handle animals on my farm with cruelty. I don't like it when people, especially, are being treated unfairly. And as a kid, it wasn't called dodgeball, it was called war ball. And I always made sure I was on the opposite team as the bullies. And I was good at catching. For whatever reason, I was good at catching. And I baited them into throwing the ball at me as hard as they could. And I always caught it. And then the kids that weren't as good or whatever, they came out and we all had a great time. So as far as the LGBTQ community goes, I will stand next to them. There, anyone that feels marginalized, I will be there for. But I just cannot stand bullies. And that's really what it boils down to for me.
It seems pretty likely one way or another that Congresswoman Stefanik will not be running for a seventh term in the race you'd like to be on the ballot for next year in 2026. So which of the Republican candidates who were jockeying in the special election do you want to face?
Yeah, I, I'm glad you answered that. I don't think she'll be there. I think she is looking for another opportunity. And first of all, Ian, it's not in my style to ever attack somebody personally, and I would never do that. I feel like whoever it is I don't have any control over. My messaging stays the same no matter whoever it is. So I look forward to finding out through the process who we're running against, but it doesn't matter to me. Really, it doesn't matter to me at all, actually.
We've been speaking with Blake Gendebien, who is a Democratic candidate for Congress in New York's 21st District. He got the backing of the county chairs for the special election that was since called off as Congresswoman Stefanik stayed in her seat. And so Blake Gendebien is now running with an eye on 2026. Blake, I'll say two things to you. One, as we say to everybody, good luck. And two, I'm sure we'll be talking to you again on the Congressional Corner as the weeks and months unfold in front of us. So thank you for your time, and I look forward to the next round.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have us back. We'd be happy to chat again.